thought when everything was just really good.
On behalf of Jenkins Church, I'd like to thank you for coming and worshiping with us. If there are any visitors this morning, we would like to certainly make you feel welcome. Are there any announcements this morning? Are there any prayer requests or praise reports? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Virginia and Russell.
His mother-in-law is reporting about this late Monday, actually yesterday, and arrangements will be made this afternoon. We're anticipating Tuesday. Is that right, Ed?
Yes.
So, Bill Sharon and Andrew and Ed come to prayer, and the extended family, long-time residents of Noah's will try to
others? Yes, my family is visiting. Michael shaved, just so if you haven't noticed, he looks a lot younger. If there are no more, then let's take this moment as a time of silence to light the candles and welcome Jesus, the light of the world.
The gates and doors are barred, all the windows fastened down. Spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find us soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. But the stone's been rolled away. Now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there. What? I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything that I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that shone from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear that I'd ever had melted into peace. The grave was open, and he came out. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Jesus, he's alive.
If you'll please stand and join with me in the call to worship this morning. This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice in it.
This is the day God has made, and what a day.
When God wipes away our tears so we can see the empty tomb.
What a day, Easter Day.
When God opens our hearts' tombs as Jesus calls us by name.
Please open your hymns to number 225.
Sing as all the earth rejoices, present. bow with me as we pray. Oh Lord God, You have called us to worship You. And Lord, we come to worship You because of who You are, but because of Your mighty acts. Especially that mighty act in raising Jesus from the dead. Lord, it comes as sadness when we think of Him going to the cross and before the cross, the suffering that He experienced at the hands of evil men. Then, Lord, You allowed Him to be nailed to the cross. And we think, did it really have to happen? And we know that it did. It was part of Your plan, O God. You let Him die because You love us so much. And we come with humble hearts, thanking You that You care enough for us. And we come with thankful hearts, Lord, that we can be a part of Your kingdom. We come, Lord, thanking You that Jesus did not stay in that grave. They killed Him, but You raised Him to new life. Praise be unto You, O Lord Most High. You have conquered death and hell through Jesus Christ. And we have that same hope that through Him we escape or conquer death ourselves and we'll be raised to new life and called up to live with You forever and ever and ever. Thank You, O God, and thank You that we can come this morning to celebrate it. And we offer our prayer, O God, in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Our call to confession this morning. Logically, rationally, we have... We're going to do something that's not in the bulletin. We're going to make our statement of faith using the Apostles' Creed. Oh, it is. It's in a different place. I'm very sorry. It's usually in the upper right hand. This can be found either on the screen or on number 716 in your hymnal. If you join with me, please. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, for our call to confession. Logically, rationally, we have no need to confess. Our petty sins pale in comparison to the great evils of our time. But this is the day God tossed logic out the window and raised Jesus from the dead. So we must throw out our claims of innocence and confess how we have not lived as God's Easter people. Our prayer of confession is in unison, if you please join with me. On the first day of the week, you who empty the tombs, we must admit that we have not lived faithfully the last few days. It is not that we have done great evil. We simply have failed to do good for others. It is not so much that we have caused hurt, but we have not brought healing. It is not that we have trouble believing in the event of Easter. We have difficulty speaking about this to our friends and neighbors. Call us by name, Redeemer of all creation, so we might hear your words of mercy. You have not given us, but handled us hope. You have not ignored our emptiness, but filled us with the bread of heaven. Do not give us over to death, but raise us to new life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, hear these words of assurance. What a day, Easter Day, God's dawn of new hope, new mercy, new life.
On the first day of every day, we can walk as God's people, forgiven and made whole. Thanks be to God.
Ready? Good morning, everyone. Did play this earlier at the sunrise, and I just want to say I'm still amazed that Sam hit those same notes at 6 in the morning. That is it's a gift. Just to mention Sam one more time, he and I spoke the other day about how wonderful it was. He was talking about a memory about his son winning the championship at the buzzer. I think that's right, if I remember the story. And that's a great memory. That's something you'll hold forever. And, you know, four kids have all recently done some pretty neat things, leading a play and made a group and different things. And those are wonderful. And I'm sure everybody here has those experiences where what a great day that was. But if you piled all of those together, all of our great memories, all the ones in the world, all the most wonderful days, and you put them all together, they wouldn't compare to what this day is. All of those memories combined don't compare it to Easter. What a great day it is. So. Maybe there are other days that mean as much or more, like the birth of my children, the day I met my bride. None of these days can compare to the day I saw the light. All my memories matter to me. Looking back can be special thing. I love birthdays and holidays, the day I saw forever. When Jesus rose from the dead, that's the best day ever. The day my daddy finally said, "Well, that's a good song, son." The day I asked her, and the day that she said yes. All these days rolled into one. still be second best. All my memories matter to me. Looking back can be a special thing. I love birthdays and holidays, but the day I saw forever when Jesus rose from the dead, that's the best day ever.
Offertory sentence this morning comes from John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you. seated. Steve Alamore, Mary Gardner, Ed Siskowski, Roger Haywood, John Rippey, and Sam Sutter would join me in the altar. This is Easter, Resurrection Sunday. But in the presentation on Friday evening, a statement was made to really appreciate the resurrection. We need to know all about Good Friday. And you can't know all about Good Friday by receiving the bread and the fruit of the vine from the communion table, unless you let your imagination group with what you have read and understood and heard from the scriptures about Jesus' suffering and death on Good Friday. So I'm asking that we remember what we can about Jesus' terrible experience, even Thursday night after the arrest, and throughout the night and throughout the day until he was crucified. And dwell on that as we come to the table, or as we are served from the table. And hear these words. The Apostle Paul wrote them concerning our observance of the supper. Actually, back in I was going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, but back in 1 Corinthians 10, he asked the question, is not this drink that we drink participating in the blood of Christ? Obvious answer, yes it is. Is not this bread that we break participating in the body of Christ? An answer is not given right there, but the obvious answer from other parts of the body, yes it is. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning with verse 23, the middle of the verse, Paul writes to the Corinthian Christians as well as to you and I. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." All who are trusting in Jesus are invited to join us as we eat, remembering his broken body, and as we drink, remembering his shed blood. Let us pray, and Brother Owen will lead us in our prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, as we come on the glory of this Easter Resurrection Day, knowing the victory and triumph of Jesus over death and the grave, we cannot help but remember the suffering and the sacrifice that he made. Even as he gathered with his
Today's scripture lesson comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We're missing a song leader, number 216. 216. Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose. So my kind voice told, he arose victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his face to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they filled the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah. Death cannot keep his grave, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Kim. My time says I've got about 9 minutes. Probably impossible. Sunday school class. We'll try. Fearful, yet filled with joy. I was reading the passage of Scripture, reading Matthew. Well, I think I read John first, and then I wanted to correspond with Patrick on what he was going to preach. What passage, resurrection passage, was he going to use for this Sunday, and then I read Matthew and I found the phrase, fearful or afraid, yet filled with joy. And that kind of hung with me for a couple of days. So I gave Patrick the lectionary lesson, and he used one of them. Actually, there were two, John and Luke, and I chose Matthew. Fearful, yet filled with joy. So I wonder what you would do, and all of us, has anybody here never been to a burying? Has everybody been to an interment? That's the proper word to say, isn't it? Interment? The classic word? Has anybody never been? We've all been to the cemetery. We've all watched them put our loved one in the ground. Have we not? We've watched them cover dirt over. We may have even participated in adding a shovel or two of dirt. But what if we did that and came back to the cemetery, the place of burial, and found the grave empty? We would be mad as all get out, would we not? We would call the officials in and we'd say, something has happened to the body. I could think of my mother, my sister, whoever. But that's what happened to Mary and the other woman with her when they visited the tomb where Jesus had been buried less than 48 hours before. The tomb, or the grave, was empty. Empty. What had happened? And there's speculation, much speculation. Somebody stole it. The disciples stole the body. Officials stole the body, and then the speculation went on and on. The Lord's Supper, that you have just participated in, reminds us of the experience of Good Friday, the death, the burial. They had to get him in the ground before sundown. That was the Sabbath. We have experienced, hopefully, somewhat in our mind, the suffering and the death of Jesus. And as I said this earlier, but let me say it again, the statement was made Friday night, something to the effect as that we need to experience Good Friday in order to fully understand or appreciate the resurrection, and to be able to celebrate it. When the women arrived at the tomb, where they had experienced Good Friday, maybe at a distance, on that day of resurrection, that first Easter, they discovered that there had been a violent somebody started using this, and then I found it up here, but anyhow. There had been a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord. I don't know if the angel caused it. As you read this in Matthew, did the angel cause the earthquake? Did the rolling away of the stone, was that what was interpreted as an earthquake? But an angel of the Lord came from heaven and rolled the tomb from the entrance. The stone from the entrance of the tomb. The guards were laid out. They were like dead men. The appearance of the angel was like lightning. The garment was as white as snow. The angel gave the women a four-part message. One interpreter said they gave him four messages. He gave them four messages. Fear not. That's one message, or it's part of the general message. Jesus is alive. What? We saw Him killed less than 48 hours ago. See for yourselves. Seeing is believing, is it not? That's what we say. Seeing is believing. If I can only see. We live by faith, not by sight in the 21st century. If they could see an empty tomb where Jesus had been laid, they could see grave clothes. And then the fourth part of that message, or the fourth message, was go and tell. Well, the women obeyed the angel. Sometimes we might say, not on your life. They might have said, people will laugh at us. People won't believe us. And they didn't. But still, the angel of the Lord, that's what He is called, not just some angel of Satan. The angel of the Lord, our God, said, go and tell. And the women were still afraid, but they were also filled with joy. And on the way they met Jesus. On the way to fulfill their messenger's orders. On the way to tell the disciples, they met Jesus. Jesus was alive, who had been dead. Jesus was well, who had been so mutilated. Read Isaiah chapter 52, if you want to see how He was mutilated, and then chapter 53. And they worshiped Him. And He told them not to be afraid. They must have had a lot of fear, right? The angel must have recognized their fear. He told them, fear not. And then Jesus told them that they might have been shaking in their shoes or sandals or whatever they were wearing. Don't be afraid. And go and tell. A two-part message, if you will, or you could make it three-part to go. Get away from the tomb. That's the place of burial. And tell. Tell the story. Fear mixed with joy. You ever had those feelings? You ever had such mixed emotions? You're joyful about something, but you're scared. Could we say scared out of our mind? I find fear mixed with joy to be a common experience in many situations in life, especially in the life of trying to be a Christian in the world today. Much fear and trembling in the life of serving Jesus. Oh, there's much fear. And there is also much joy. And I ask you to think of some of your fears. You may be scared enough to want to bury your head in the sand. And sometimes we do that. We turn a deaf ear to the pleas of those in need, or to the orders of Jesus. We say, not me, coach. Or we those who are hurting, we don't hear them. We bury our head in the sand, so to speak. Some of your fears being a Christian, that you won't be accepted with your old crowd. Well, probably won't. You may have to change crowds. But the best thing is to go and tell the old crowd. That's what Jesus said to Mary, the Marys, or those Mary and the one with her. Some of your fears, but also some of your joys. Brother Burt's here, and we misused him this morning. Hopefully not. But he's got a few more years in the ministry than I have. And I know something about his ministry, and he's been through times of fear, but also so many joys. So many joys. Sam, we can use him, one of our own, as an example. We asked him about being moderator, and he was fearful. Nancy even said, "You ain't going to win." Well, we fixed that, didn't we? The Lord took care of that. And he was fear and trembling. And quite frankly, I was in fear and trembling when I stood before assembly and made his nominating speech. When I sat down, I had notes, detailed notes of what I said, but I would think, did I really say that? I meant to say that. Did I say that? And I didn't have a recording of it. But there were some joys when he won, hands down, see. That's just one example. But I think of others. Think of Moses. Moses was so fearful when God called him to go and lead the Israelites out of the bondage of Egypt into the promised land. He said, "I can't do it, Lord. They won't like me. They'll call me a murderer. They just won't listen to me." He said, "I don't even speak very well." The Lord said, "Go do it anyway." And when they crossed over the Red Sea and looked back, and those Egyptians were being engulfed in the water. Did you see it last night? I saw about that much of it. Charlton Heston. It was on again last night on Channel 2. I didn't see the engulfing of the Egyptians with the water and the chariot miring up in the mud after the Israelites had gotten through, passed through the riverbed or the seabed on dry land, like dry land. But don't you know that Moses and those with him, and he says, "Thank you, Lord, that you let me be the leader of this." Fear mixed with joy. David was running from King Saul because King Saul was jealous of him and wanted to kill him. But when David, it's kind of bad to think about David rejoicing over killing Goliath, but Goliath represented a sinful nation in slavery again for the people of Israel. Is that he wiped Goliath out. And he was fearful, but there was joy. Then there was Joshua. The scriptures don't tell us that Joshua was scared when Moses died and the reins, so to speak, were handed to Joshua. Joshua took over after Moses. Moses got to see into the promised land from a mountaintop, but did not get to enter it. Joshua took over. It doesn't say he was fearful, but twice in the first chapter, he is encouraged on. And he was one statement made that says, "Be strong and courageous." And then in the next verse, verse 7, "Be strong and very courageous." So there must have been some fear, or the Lord would not have had to tell him, "You've got to be courageous now, Joshua. You've got to be courageous. Don't be scared." Doesn't use the word, but the indication is there. And I'm sure when they got into the promised land, crossed over the Jordan River, got into the promised land, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, that he said, "Man, I was scared way back there, but I'm so glad to be here." He was so joyful. He forgot all of that fear. And then Peter and the other disciples, hear this. Disciples were so fearful when Jesus was arrested. Peter denied him. He denied that he even knew Jesus for fear for his own life. Matthew 26:69, Mark 14:66, Luke 22:54, all three record this. All of the disciples deserted Jesus. All of them. Matthew 26:56. But Peter and the other disciples were without a doubt joyful when people came to believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 2, 32 and following, Peter was preaching and 3,000 were added to the church that day. Acts chapter 10. But even before that, when they met the risen Jesus, when Jesus came and ate with them in locked rooms, when Jesus came and met with them on the seashore and had breakfast with them and reaffirmed Peter after he had denied him. Oh, what are some of your fears and some of your joys? Becoming a minister. Oh, so fearful. So fearful. There's been some joys. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, there may be weeping for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Rejoicing comes in the morning. Facing our fears, fear of believing. You have the fear of believing in Jesus being raised from the dead. Fear of becoming a Christian in the 21st century. Is there a fear of becoming a Christian in this century? Becoming a disciple of Jesus? For us who believe, for us who have become disciples, there's going to be a lot of rejoicing on Judgment Day. Fear of sharing the message of salvation and eternal life with Jesus. Fear of sharing that message. Oh, there may be some fear, but there's much joy when just one comes to believe. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Join with me as we sing together number 220, proclaiming our faith in Jesus who lives, even today. 220, will you stand together?
Serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
I make apologies for the Sunday school class that we'll meet in here, but I just had that message on my heart. And if we could vacate the sanctuary to the lobby as quick as possible so that they might begin their class. Thank you for being here. Good to see many people returning to the community and to the church today. Lord God, send us forth as your people, willing to share what we believe as your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You're dismissed.
Nothing is there, but it's all gone.
If the class meets in here, I know that.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's the one I'll send y'all to.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
okay. I'm